It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we welcome you back for hour number two. Don't forget, Sam Cosby is going to join us right around 3:30 after practice. That's number one. That'll create a shift for how we normally do things in the 3 o'clock hour. So we'll do the cleanup on aisle three segment before we actually get to Cosby, okay? But we'll have all of our normal staples, what have you. We've obviously been chirping a little bit about Cam Taylor-Britt of the Cincinnati Bengals, who you might not know, and that's fine. He had a big interception of Patrick Mahomes the other day. That's fine. He's a young player, right? And he's certainly, like a lot of today's youth, they certainly seem to think they know everything and that their poop don't stink. And they're wrong, as usual. You know, some might call it the youngest in charge movement. I might call it something else. But Cam Taylor-Britt seems to think he knows everything. And he seems to think that Cliff Kingsbury's offense is a college offense, which is already kind of demeaning compared to like a standard traditional NFL offense. But what he doesn't understand is that most NFL offenses nowadays are morphing into college offenses and have been for years. Have been for years. Spread, quick game, all of that. Have been for years, number one. Number two, the reason why Cliff Kingsbury has thrown so many passes behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage, again, the numbers, we went over them earlier this week. I don't have them right in front of me, so I'm not going to waste your time. I think it was like 43% or whatever it was. It's a lot. We all see it. We all know it. We can all see it. The reason why he's doing that is not to run a college-style offense, because that's where most of his experience was. Remember, he was Texas Tech, USC last year, Oklahoma before that. But he was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals for 4 years, right? So, like, this notion that Cliff Kingsbury runs, you know, this wide open 4 and 5 receiver, pass 45 times a game, quick short game, all that stuff, like all the stuff you see in a lot of college offenses. The notion that he does that is somebody that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Sorry, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. What Cliff Kingsbury is doing is not running a college offense. What he's doing is running an offense that right now suits Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. With no reference to an NFL offense, a West Coast offense, a down-the-field offense, a college offense, a this offense, a that. He's running an offense that right now gives Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders their best opportunity to move the football, to put up points, to not get killed. So when Cam Taylor-Britt says, you know, again, it's a nice college offense, I think what Cam Taylor-Britt is looking at is looking at a couple of things where they're, again, throwing bubble screens and backward passes and quick game, and then running a lot of jet motion and saying, oh, well, that's what they're doing. They're running a college offense. But they're not in 4 and 5 receivers all the time. You know, they're playing multiple tight ends. They're in a lot of 12 personnel. I don't have, again, all the numbers in front of me. Jaden Daniels is playing a couple of snaps here under center, some in pistol, some in gun. They're not playing a college offense. They're playing an offense that suits Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders right now after 2 weeks of the regular season. That's it, period. And think about this. We would be really, really upset. Remember last year when we couldn't figure out why, with a fifth-round quarterback who has basically had one game of NFL experience, why Eric Bieniemy was throwing the ball 40-plus times a game and 70-plus percent of the time? We couldn't figure it out, right? Like, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? They can't hold up in protection. They're just begging for trouble. They're not running the ball, all this stuff. What would we be saying if they were again running either the form of the air raid offense that Cliff Kingsbury was once known for, or if they were running an offense that just featured a lot of downfield routes and a lot of downfield shots? What would we be saying if that was the case? Instead, what he's running, again, not only is an offense that suits Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but I would argue he's running basically a modern-day offense. And again, I do wonder, and the way I absorbed the criticism was, yes, he was pointing a finger or criticizing Cliff Kingsbury by saying it's a nice college offense and they're keeping it simple for him. They don't make him do a lot. Yes, that is more pointed towards Cliff Kingsbury. But when he said, so they love to move guys around here and there, but just to keep it real simple for him, I heard his, meaning Jaden's, pass percentage is very high, but he's only throwing short routes, you know. Some intermediate stuff, quick throws. Well, that's a criticism. I guess by extension on Kingsbury, but that's criticism of directly, what have you, of Jaden Daniels. Hey, the only reason why his pass percentage is high is because he's throwing short routes. That's it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that good. Otherwise, there would be nothing to see here. But what world do we live in that would tell you it's a smarter idea for them to run a full offense, a full down-the-field offense, or a heavy second- and third-level offense, whatever you want to call it? What offense and what world would we be living in if that was the thought process? Again, we'd be saying Cliff Kingsbury just got dropped off on a UFO by a UFO, because that's what we were saying with Eric Bieniemy. It was like, whoa, what in the world are they doing? And look at how it turned out. They didn't start running the ball until midway through the year when Ron had to step in and be like, yeah, run the damn ball. And then they did a little. Think about it. I mean, sometimes you can't win. And I know we all have a microphone in front of us. I do every day, 1 to 4 and beyond. Matt does. You know, Cam Taylor-Britt does. I mean, he's asked. He's not running around going, hey, can I talk to you guys? You know, maybe he is, but I doubt it. He's asked, you know, probably an innocuous question. But I don't know. I took this as a criticism, yes, of Cliff, but also of Jaden, and more importantly, it's a dumb criticism. Because they are running an offense right here, right now, that suits what they're at, or what they have, and where they're at. They don't have studs at wide receiver like the Cincinnati Bengals do. They don't. They don't have a great offensive line like the Eagles have had forever. They don't. They don't have a great defense where you could say, you know what? If we go 3 and out, it's not a big deal. The defense will get us the ball back. No. They have terrible special teams. Well, terrible might be strong because Seibert saved the day on Sunday. But outside of that, everything else has been bad on special teams. They don't have any of that. And you want me to sit here and go, oh, Cliff Kingsbury is a village idiot and Jaden Daniels is a know-nothing rookie who's just only completing passes because they've made it as dumb and as elementary for him? That's not fair. That's not fair. I know it's juicy. Oh, look at what he's saying. Oh, look, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know what he's doing. Cliff Kingsbury called a masterful game on Sunday. A masterful game. Now, week one, I wouldn't say was anywhere close to masterful, but he was dealing with an absolute bear of a defense and aggressive attack at Raymond James Stadium with Tampa Bay in Jaden's first game. But I would say last week against the Giants was a masterpiece from a schematic, from an evolutionary standpoint during the game, from a eye candy perspective, from a run perspective, inside, outside, from a balance perspective, from everything. Finding a way to get Noah Brown some one-on-one looks and get Noah Brown all sorts of separation. If Jaden would have hit Luke McCaffrey on one or two of those, maybe completely different game. If the offensive line and or Jaden doesn't commit as many penalties because of cadence, because of concentration, because of focus, because of whatever. We'll ask Sam Cosmi about this in about an hour and 15 minutes. If that doesn't happen, they put up probably, what they won 21-18, they probably put up 35 points, and everybody's like, ooh. But now, because they only put up 21 points and they had 7 field goals and they sucked in the red zone, everybody's like, ah, it's a college offense. Ah, it's a rinky-dink offense. Ah, it's a Mickey Mouse offense. Oh, it's what you would see like out of Washington State, you know, on like a Wednesday night. No. Come on, man. Let's wake up. Let's smell the coffee. Let's be stop being ridiculous. And by the way, Cam Taylor-Britt, I know you had a great interception. Dude, you're nothing. Maybe you'll have an interception this week too. You're still nothing. You're a third-year player. Shut the bleep up. Nobody cares what you think and what you know. Because you don't know what you don't know. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're saying. It's not a college offense. And I dare anybody to tell me that it is. There's roots of a college offense. It is not a pure college offense or what has become known as a college offense. It's not. But just because there's jet motion and eye candy and throws behind the line of scrimmage, that makes it a college offense and basically like not acceptable on the NFL level, get lost. Get out of here. All right. Let's go to our guy. Athan in Annapolis, Double A. Double A, once again, I thank you very much. I appreciate you. How are you?
I appreciate you too, brother. I'm good. I just want to say that, you know, if you want respect, you got to earn it. And you had last week the Giants player, Thibodeau, saying we're not a rival. We go out there, we have 400 yards of offense, we control the clock, we don't have turnovers, yet it took a guy to drop a pass at the end of the game that you and I could have caught to win the game. So you fast forward to this week, and it's the same type of thing. You know what I care about the offense? I care about it if the offense works. I don't care if they throw it 60 times a game. I don't care if they run it 60 times a game. I don't care if it's a college offense or a four-year-old's offense. I care if it works. So this team hasn't had a winning season in 8 years. They haven't had a playoff win in north of 20 years. You know, when they have a losing record now as far as the entire franchise history. It's 39 games below 500 in the division, or maybe it's 38 now since they won last week. But you get my point. If you want respect, you're not expected to win on Monday, but you have to go out and play well. You can't be 41-16 at the end of the game because that means you haven't made any progress from last year. So whoever's talking trash, I don't care who it is or what he thinks of our offense or our players. If you want respect, you've got to go out and earn it and play better.
I agree with everything that you just said. You have, because the narrative will again, just like it would have been different if they would have scored 35 points versus 21 points last Sunday, the narrative will change if you go toe-to-toe with the Bengals and Joe Burrow and you're making throw after throw after throw after throw, and all of a sudden, say you lose 31-28, and everybody's like, wow, look at what they – right? I mean, we all know this. And the only way you change the narrative, the only way you change Kayvon Thibodeau and shut him up, the only way you change Cam Taylor Britt and shut him up is by going, like you said, head-to-head and proving it. Now, you got to do that, but that's probably the only way you get to do it in reality, because then the narrative will change from, oh, man, they're building something in Washington. They've got something going there, right? And then all of a sudden, people's perspectives will change.
Yep, I agree. It's just they have to dig deep, though, because the first 2 weeks, what they've shown on the field, I mean, I'm glad they improved last week, but that was against the Giants, and they still almost beat themselves. So, you know, you again, they know what they need to do. These guys are professionals, okay? They get paychecks that could pay off you and mine's mortgage tomorrow, every Monday, okay? So they know what to do, but I will say this. Everybody just needs to keep in mind with Jaden. It's his third game of the season, not his 30th coming up. So Cliff's doing the right thing by nursing him through and using the strength of this team, which is the running game and the tight ends and what have you. But it's time to put up or shut up. Look at the Raiders are doing with less. Less is more. And what they did at the end of last year and what they're doing now, and they came into Baltimore last week and came back to beat it. That's the team, the effort that I want to see out of this team. And then I'll accept what the results are.
That's fair. I mean, there is nobody saying that they don't have room to grow, because that's for damn sure. Absolutely. The case. They have room to grow. And, you know, you put a different twist on it, and I get it. I get where you're coming from. And again, the only way you can change how people feel about you is by doing something different that makes common sense, right? Like, if at times in my career, real quickly, I was a hothead and I would fight with people and I would, you know, and I still do that to some degree, but I have chilled. I have not taken Twitter and X and whatever so seriously. I think I have been less critical of people. I have been more understanding, more sensitive, what have you. So that's changed some of the public narrative about me. And I'm just using me as an example because I can speak confidently about me. But the only way you do it is by change. The only way you do it is by action, which proves your point. So.
Right. I want to see them go out there and fight like Tyler Russo would, not like Longfellow Tidwad. Not like a Tidwad.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Thanks again the awesome birthday surprises. I appreciate it. That's our guy, Athens in Annapolis, old double A. Yeah, old Tyler. Did you get a chance to see that little link that I sent you today? Tyler sent me on YouTube a video of, I don't know who it is, singing like a happy birthday song. But it's not happy birthday, Dad. It's not happy birthday, Chris. It's not happy birthday, Rooster. Instead, it's happy birthday, Russell. And he'll call me.
Birthday, Russell. Happy birthday, Russell.
Happy birthday, Russell. Because he'll type into his phone, or he'll say into his phone, happy birthday, Russell. Because he'll just call me and he'll be like, yeah, happy birthday, Rooster. Or, hey, what's up, Rooster? Or what's up, Russell? What's up, WrestleMania? It's just come up with all sorts of different things because he just likes to poke the bear. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. Let me just tell you this. I'll wrap this up on this Cam Taylor Britt guy. It should not surprise anybody that he popped off uneducatedly, if you will, from a football perspective. if he actually knew what he was talking about and if he actually took a second to think about it, he wouldn't have said it. But that's the problem with you guys, with you young people. And I know we do a lot of old and young talk on this show sometimes, right? A lot of times you guys say things that you don't think about and think of the ramifications and think of the perspective that us old bleeps now have a way through life's trials and tribulations, ups and downs, lessons. We have a way of processing. Now, again, sometimes I'm going to say things that you're going to disagree with. That's not what this is about. This is about Cam Taylor-Britt saying something, again, that he didn't have to say about Cliff Kingsbury, the offense, Washington, Jaden Daniels. And on top of that, like not using his noodle to think, hey, you know what? Maybe that's not a college offense. Maybe that's a morphed, blended NFL offense. And more importantly, maybe that's an offense that's the right offense for them. It may look like a Mickey Mouse offense, which it doesn't. It may look like something that you perceive. That's on you. But it works. Because at this point, and hopefully not forever, hopefully there's a day where Jaden Daniels can stay tall in that pocket and play more like what we saw in the second half. And maybe that day is Monday night. I don't know. I doubt it. But hopefully that is where we're heading. Will we get there? I don't know. I hope so. I think so. Don't know. But when I hear somebody like this and recognize, you know, that he's 24. I just think of a lot of the idiocy that I see. I just think of, and again, maybe I said some of these things at 24 too. And look, he didn't do anything really, like, this is from a football perspective, guys. This is not from a, you know, life perspective, okay? I don't know Cam Taylor-Britt. I have no idea whether he's smart, not, whether he's a good person, not. I have no idea. I don't care. This is just from a football perspective. But a lot of times, when you have now a little bit of history, like he called out Xavier Worthy, now he's calling out Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm interpreting calling out Jaden Daniels a little bit too. What do you think they're going to do for week four? I know how this works. Oh, let's go here because we can get a juicy soundbite out of him. And either he's going to keep putting his foot in his mouth or he's not going to want to talk to the media and he's going to blame the media for misinterpreting everything that he says. I ain't misinterpreting anything, man. I ain't misinterpreting anything. Number one, this ain't a college offense. Number two, you don't know what you don't know. It is the offense, an offense, that has been created and fostered and built for a young quarterback to have success. Without a great offensive line, without great right receivers, without great weapons, in a league where you have to score points, and in his case, when he doesn't have a defense that's worth a damn, at least right now. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We will get back to the actual game. How do the Commanders pull, you want to call it a shocking upset? I don't think it would be a shocking upset. How do the Commanders pull off the surprise on Monday night? I'll have some thoughts on that coming up next. If you want to hop in, we can. We'll spin around the rest of the NFL. Don't forget Sam Cosmi, about an hour away from right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so as we told you about last hour and as we opened up the show, Thursday night football, Patriots getting drubbed by the Jets. But Jacoby Brissett, the former Washington Commanders backup quarterback, is going to stay the starter, at least for now, according to Jared Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots there at San Francisco next Sunday. Meanwhile, Mike McDaniel, former Washington assistant and, of course, Dolphins head coach, saying the Fish are likely to be without Raheem Mostert for a second consecutive game, even with the extra time in between. Mostert does not look like he's going to be able to play against Seattle, who is 2-0 in Seattle, as Miami at 1-1 travels there. And from the NBA, Joel Embiid agreeing to a three-year, nearly $193 million extension with the Philadelphia 76ers, who, of course, sure, owned by Josh Harris. Nationals underway. They're trailing 1-0 in the bottom of the first at Wrigley to the Cubs after losing the series opener last night. And that's what's trending. It is a feel-good Friday right here on a feel-good football Friday, I should say, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Don't forget, Sam Cosmi of the Commanders joins us in less than an hour after they wrap up practice and he has a chance to cool off and all that good stuff. So that'll be fun. Ask him about his contract extension, red zone issues, offensive line, how everything's going with Jaden, Monday night football stage, all that coming up. Plus, we'll have our dual Super Six Pack, six games against the NFL spread, and six ranked teams, top to bottom, or top one through six, I should say, in the NFL after an approach it. Well, after the Thursday nighter, which started week three, and going into the rest of the week three calendar. So we'll have all of that coming up for you, dum-dum of the day and everything in between, clean up on aisle three, all of our new normal staples. If you want to hop in, it's 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get to Little in a sec. So how can the Commanders spring the upset? First of all, as you guys know, I don't give a rat's ass about what Vegas thinks or what Joe Public thinks or what the Sharks think. I don't care about any of it. Sorry. I mean, a lot of people care about it. I get it. I acknowledge it. That's why we make the picks against the spread. I do it because I not have to. Nobody's forcing me to. But I know that a lot of people like it. We do picks as a show, Doc, Linnell, myself, Matt, Matt's Coin, straight up, not against the spread. It's kind of a fun show thing. I do six picks against the spread on Friday. That's really the only time we'll talk about it. But the Commanders are the biggest dogs on the board, for whatever that's worth, which is, again, worth nothing. Cincinnati is 7.5-point favorites on Monday night. We'll get to our official pick coming up again just after 3 o'clock. But whenever you see a number like that, right, and you see the team that's favored heavily, more than a touchdown, and they're 0-2, you think, there's something fishy about that, right? But nobody should dispute that Cincinnati is a better football team than the Commanders. Cincinnati should have beaten Kansas City. I don't want to say they could have beaten New England, but, you know, if they didn't have so much stuff going on off the field with the contracts, then the injury, T. Higgins, so on and so forth, maybe they beat New England week one instead of taking them lightly and losing outright. Never mind not covering, they lose outright. And again, this should tell you everything you need to know about big spreads and, you know, what Vegas thinks. Cincinnati was the biggest favorite in week one. They lost at home to what people think is the worst team since sliced bread was created. And Baltimore last week, I think they were 9.5-point favorites. They lost at home to the Raiders. Again, not only not covering, losing outright. Again, Vegas knows nothing. They know nothing except how to totally bleep you guys. Okay? So just keep that in mind. That being said, like whether you use the point spread or whether you use, I don't know, like something I like to use a lot of, common sense, the Bengals are a better team. Even though they're 0-2 and the Commanders are 1-1, they're a better team. We all know that. They have a better quarterback right now simply because Joe Burrow's in his, what, fifth year? Fourth year? Fifth year? I guess it's fifth year. Even though he's had a lot of injuries, and even though there's some concerns about the wrist, I mean, I think if you watch the Chiefs game, I don't think you'll have those same concerns. They've got a rebuilt running back tandem, which some people say might be better than what they've had in Joe Mixon. Okay. I don't know if it was better than Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. I don't think so, but I can live with that if we're just talking about Joe Mixon last year versus Zach Moss and the young kid this week, this year. Sure. Okay. We know they have two studs at receiver. Again, we think T. Higgins is coming back. If he doesn't, that's certainly a key, and that's certainly a thing. But he's expected to be back. Assuming that he is, they've got two receivers that are better than anybody Washington has, period. End of story. End of argument. And Jermaine Burton, one of their young receivers, a third-round pick this year, can really stretch the field. He can fly. And we talked about Andre, I'm going to butcher his name again, Isavas. I know my guy Jeff tried to help me with that. I think it's Andre Isavas. As a slot guy, again, he's going to hurt them on Monday night. Gesicki, who has bounced around from team to team to team and never really quite put it together. At one point, he was a franchise tag player. He's going to hurt them. Especially if the defense doesn't significantly improve, especially if there's something to Benjamin St. Juice in his hamstring. And we're presuming Emmanuel Forbes doesn't play, but who knows? The bottom line is, the Bengals are a better football team, period. Now, that doesn't mean they will play better. They have more talent. They have more experience. They're at home. They are desperate at 0-2. We all know if you start 0-3, what kind of hole that puts you in. What is it, like less than 10% of teams bounce back from that and actually make the playoffs? I think it's maybe it's right around 10%, whatever. I don't care. It's not very high, I'll tell you that much. So they have everything that you could possibly be asking for, I think, when it comes to trying to win this game. Now, they've got some injuries on their defensive line. We touched on, hey, Cliff Kingsbury's an inside zone guy. They ran the ball better in the middle of the line last week. Cincinnati has yielded a bunch of yardage. I think it's like 75 rushing yards a game in between the tackles. B.J. Hill, Sheldon Rankins are beat up. Don't know if they're going to play. They might be starting a rookie and a guy who just came in off the street. And literally a guy, Lawrence guy. Now, he's played in the league before with New England, so it's not like he's, you know, a totally untested rookie. But I just got signed a couple of days ago. But they have Trey Hendrickson, who's a maniac. And nobody really knows about him because he doesn't say stupid things like Cam Taylor-Britt does. Right? All he does is sack the quarterback and put pressure on the quarterback. I'm not sitting here telling you this is the best defense in the world, but I have all the respect in the world for Lou Anarumo. I've seen him plenty. I know what he's done to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs. If you don't know that, if you can't see that, that's on you. I don't think it's a great defense, a lights-out defense, a defense you can't move the ball against. I think it absolutely you can. If you execute right, if you're smart, all that. If you third and three instead of third and eight. I mean, all the things that we talked about. If you get Terry on track early, again, deep stretch pass, post, go route, whatever. Or maybe it's to Diami Brown, whoever. Don't be predictable. Do a lot of what you did last week, even though it's on the road. The Bengals are better on paper and on the field. That doesn't mean they're going to win. For the Commanders to win, they need to take the approach of this. We need to score early, and we need to create doubt so that we can stay ahead of the chains and then run the ball down their throat. We need to shorten the game. We need to shorten possessions. We need to make sure that the Cincinnati Bengals, we need to make sure that the Cincinnati Bengals are not, let me repeat, not running 12 possessions a game, right? In their last game, 26-25 loss to the Chiefs, they ran 10 possessions. If you could somehow keep the Bengals to 8 possessions, you might have a chance. How do you do that? Well, running the ball, yes. Converting on third down, yes. Not having negative play-a-palooza, sack and or penalty, yes. Scoring touchdowns, less field goals, yes. Right? You get the point here, right? If the Bengals are on the field as an offensive unit, assuming that they have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and you know where I'm going with this. If they're on the field and they're getting 11 or 12 opportunities because you can't convert on third down, because you can't stop them on third down and get off the field, because you more like possessions in a game are generally more determined by what you do on offense. Meaning if the Commanders go 3 and out on, I don't know, 5 out of their first 6 drives, that's a recipe for doom. Not for a loss, that's a recipe for doom. Because it'll keep the Bengals on the field. It'll get the Bengals on the field. It'll give them more opportunities. And they are a quick play, strike up the band type of offense where, yes, they can have long drives if they want to and need to, but they can also score in 3, 4, 5 plays, what have you. Right? Now, not all series, I don't think, they're going to score on. Not all the time are you going to not be able to get off the field on. But we know this Commanders defense has struggled on third down. We know the Commanders defense has struggled to tackle. We know that the offense has been better on third down than they normally are. We know that if you control tempo, pace, and I talk about tempo by design, I would only use tempo by design if you're struggling in this game to really get something going. I don't want to go fast in this game. I want to go nice and slow. You know, just like you take a big piece of brisket, right? And you put it out on the smoker. You don't want to cook that bad boy unless you're my guy at Gouda's Barbecue. You don't want to cook that bad boy at 500 degrees. You want to smoke it at 220, 215, whatever, so that it's low and slow. That's the way you want to go in this game. You want to go, unless you're getting points really fast, and I mean quick strike up the band type points, which, again, you'll take any day. If you can get a deep nine route or a deep post route to Diami or Terry, and you get 7 out of it, boom, of course you take that. But you do not want to go such fast-paced here that you're letting the Bengals back on the field. Limit the possessions. If you can limit them to 8 possessions, 2 on average a quarter, I think you give yourself a chance. I think you give yourself a pretty decent chance. We'll get to Little on the other side of the break. How can the Commanders spring the upset? I just gave you a couple of thoughts from me. If you want to jump in, 301-230-0980. If you want to hit me up on X/social media at WrestleMania, 621 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, coming up, our dual Super Six Pack. Six teams ranked 1 through 6 in the NFL entering week 3, and 6 games against the NFL spread. I got a couple of doozies for you. I don't know what the sharks off the coast of Cambodia are saying. I know what my brain is saying. So far through 2 weeks, we're dead 500. 3-3 each week, which is not great, but, you know, you're not losing. Hopefully we don't have one of those 1-5, 0-6 type weeks, huh? Who's winning in our little office pool of pick'em overall through the 2 weeks? Do you know, Matt? Is it because I had the big week 1 and like 500-ish week in week 2. Linnell had the big week 2 but had a horrible week 1.
So our cumulatives, you're 18-13 through 2 weeks. Well, I guess 19-13 because right. You got yesterday correct. Doc is 17-15. Linnell is 16-16, so he's 100% as of today, 500, and I'm 15-17.
But to be fair to you, you're picking games with a coin.
I'm a monkey picking.
Right.
There's no rhyme or reason. That's right. Just the luck right. of the coin.
I mean, Linnell, somebody who's supposed to kind of know a little bit more than a monk than a coin
yeah.
flip or a coin.
Especially because he's all national, so you'd think
yes.
he knows the entire league.
Yes.
But
and because
you're leading the charge
yeah,
right now.
Because he's the youngest in charge, you know, like he's leading a movement towards, I presume, common sense.
Or the bathroom.
Or he's leading a bowel movement, as we often say. Let's get to Little here real quickly before we make the turn for 3 o'clock. What up, Little? How are you?
What's going on, Rooster?
Little, what's shaking?
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Happy birthday, man. I was telling Ice, shout out to Ice. They had y'all show on the Harbor, on the speaker last yesterday. And I heard them talking about your birthday. But look, this is what I'm hoping happens Monday, Rooster. After they see all the NFC teams go down, I got the Saints losing. I mean, I got the Saints winning, money line. I got the Ravens on the money line. And the Giants going down. They got to come up with a demeanor to get to Burrow early. If we can get to him early, what I like about Kingsbury, now, in that first game against Tampa Bay, Rooster, we didn't call no draws, no traps, or nothing, no jet streak. For some reason, the draw and the traps are busting loose. So let's go down there with the demeanor that we got to get to Burrow early, get him off his rhythm.
They ran a lot of the jet stuff last week against the Giants, right. And they ran a draw.
Right. A lot of draws, a lot of yep. traps and draws. Mm-hmm. Every time they ran, they bust loose.
Exactly.
So now I'm thinking they got a demeanor. They can run the ball. So let's go down there and get the Burrow early. That's the key. And I'm hoping with Joe, with you got to scheme up something, partner.
Are you with me, Little, on blitzing Burrow from the secondary a lot more than we've seen so far? Because you're at such a disadvantage that if you just sit back, roll back, and play coverage, you're going to get killed.
I don't care how rat ass how you get to him. You got to get to him early and get him off his rhythm. And once you disturb him, and then we can momentum the field. We can change the field easily, man. Get this kid off the field, man. Hit him a couple of times legally and get him off the field early. That's the key to the game. I got us covered on the parlay. Saints, Ravens, money. All right, man. Y'all take care. Enjoy your day, Rooster.
I mean, listen, I appreciate you. Thank you, Little. If you walk into Monday and the Eagles have lost, The Cowboys-Ravens is a really interesting game, right? Because you'd think Cowboys at home, they bounce back from the disaster that was last week. But what Lamar and Derrick Henry desperate to avoid going 0-3, right? And Alvin Kamara and the Saints ran all over them. I mean, they did whatever they wanted to, but a lot of it was running all over their asses. I can't make up my mind who I like in that game. I mean, normally I would say, well, Dallas is going to bounce back. That is a really tough matchup to bounce back from. But that's not a guaranteed spot for Baltimore to just go in there and roll ramshot all of them because, again, their offensive line is not very good. Their wide receivers outside of Zay Flowers, not very good. But yet they're desperate. They know they can't go 0-3. If the Cowboys lose, yeah, it's not good, but they're 1-2. Sure, they would have lost two home games. Again, not good, but not a season ender. Again, if the Ravens or the Bengals drop to 0-3 Sunday or Monday, their season's not over. Nobody's season's over in 3 weeks just because the math tells us it's not likely that they come back. But, man, it is brutal. 258, Team 980, dueling Super Six Packs. That's right, the most revolutionary segment in sports talk radio history. Coming up, six games against the NFL spread and the top six teams in the NFL. We do it all in one neat segment that we created and nobody has replicated. And so far, nobody has stolen from us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.